So I'm really expectant. I'm excited for what the Lord's going to speak through me today. Like Micah said, we have been going through the Beatitudes, and I get the last one. And many of you may be wondering why I'm nervous for that. You'll find out in a second. But really, I was just in awe that when I was preparing for the sermon, that it almost felt like the Beatitudes was such a perfect imagery of what God says and speaks to us when we ask, how do we be faithful followers of you? How do we encompass this identity? How do we come together as followers? And what I found so interesting, it was like almost like God lifted me into this plane, and I was looking at this sermon from a 30,000 foot view, and I realized that every single piece of this scripture has to work together. We can't pick and choose what we want as much as we wish. And so this last two verses of the Sermon of the Mount and the Beatitudes specifically is just as important as the first one. However, I want to start off with reading the entire Beatitudes because I think as I finish and wrap up this entire sermon, we have to see the bigger picture. And we have to see what God was giving me in that 30,000 foot view. So as I read, I just encourage you, maybe ask the Lord, what is that 30,000 foot perspective? And then as we have in the Monday chapels, we've gone verse by verse because we want to be intentional with that. And I'll do that, don't worry. But first I'm gonna read it all together. He said, this is Jesus speaking, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And then we come to verses 10 through 12, and it states, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you for me. Rejoice and be glad because our great reward is in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Lord, I thank you that the glimpses of your heart come from your scriptures. Jesus, I ask that when we read through the Beatitudes and as next week continue the Sermon on the Mount, Lord, I pray that we would believe your words don't leave void. Would your spirit fill us so that we can understand what you were preaching? And Lord, I believe that as people have said before, that the scriptures are more relevant and important than ever before today. Would we embrace this walk of obedience with you because our desire is to be more like you, Jesus. I pray that as we process and hear from you today, our postures would be because we respect and honor this life that you call us to in discipleship. And Lord, it's in your name that we pray. Amen. You know, I'd have to be so honest. When I got this email from sweet Megan, and she emailed me and she asked, would I be willing to preach on a Monday? I thought to myself,
yeah.
I actually just finished my second preaching class. I am good to go. I ended with a B+. And that must mean I am ready. And then I looked at the actual scripture and I saw that first few words were persecution, to be insulted, to be lied about, to be all of these things. And I thought to myself, are you kidding? I'd be so honest in that. I even went over to Mike and I said, can I say no? And he goes, think about it, give it a few weeks. So I did. I thought about it, I prayed about it, and I'm so thankful that the Lord changes our hearts for what he wants us to do. But like I was saying, there's this 30,000 foot view. And I almost feel like there's also another analogy that the Lord wants us to understand, is that this gift that he wants us to walk as a faithful disciple of him is waiting for us. close your eyes. Give me a second. Imagine the Lord, Jesus himself, walking with you. And he says, Christina, or he says, Micah, whoever you are. There's two staircases for you waiting. If you look to the left, the first staircase is going up, just like any other staircase. And at the top is this gift. It's what the world will offer you. The world of money, endless money. The world of maybe popularity, influence. There's this staircase, and it's the world. Because the world will satisfy you, right? And all that will come with it. You can take that staircase if you want. But look to the right. There's this staircase that I have for you. And at the end of this staircase, there's this gift. A gift of being a faithful walk. A faith so deep that our discipleship reflects who Jesus is. You can open your eyes. But I almost imagine that if we were to go to the right, and we'd say, Lord, I want to be a faithful follower of you. I really do. And he says, okay, well, here's the Beatitudes. Let me whisper it to you when you take a step. So you take your first step, and he goes, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. You take another step. Blessed are those who mourn, but they will be comforted. You take your third step. Blessed are the meek. Take a fourth step, and it's blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the Lord and his righteousness. And you start to get excited, and you start to say, this staircase feels good. You take another, and it says, blessed are those who are clean and pure in heart, for they will see God's face. And you get to a spot, and you're like, Lord, I want to see your face. Let's take another step, and it says, those who are peacemakers are blessed. And you say, this is really nice. And then you get to the last and final step, and it's almost as if Jesus' hand is so close. He says, the gift is right there. Just take my hand. But yet he still whispers, blessed are those who are persecuted. And we stop. Blessed are those who will be insulted, and we hesitate. And we panic. I cannot express to you the amount of times that I have sat at this altar on my knees and I've said, Lord, I want to see your face. Purify my heart. Purify it. And then he brings up the ugliness and I say, oh, I'm out. Have you been there? Where you say, Lord, I want to be a peacemaker. And then a storm hits and you're like, this is not what I was asking. Or you say, Lord, I want to be meek. I want to be humble. And then it's almost like people confront you and they say, you know, you're actually not. And it hurts and it stings. I think Jesus still beautifully illustrated what it's actually like if we take that step. You know, I was going through this preparation, and I thought to myself, how on earth am I going to preach on modern day persecution, especially in our world today? I don't want to do it. There's another translation of this passage, and it says, your commitment to God will be so deep it provokes persecution. What if we were people who are so committed to taking that last step, that it almost felt like kingdom of God was here? I don't know about you, but I want to be someone who's so faithful to Jesus that when persecution comes around my life, I know I must be doing something right. When I find out that someone says something so false about me, I say, perfect. It's because I want righteousness. When someone insults me, you better believe I'll say it all you want, because I know who I am, because I've seen God's face. Say it. What if we were those people? So often I find myself exhausted because I process these two staircases. I think so often we find ourselves maybe taking one step up the staircase. The world feels nice, and then we realize, but the world doesn't satisfy. So we run back down that staircase and we start to take the first few steps of what Jesus proclaimed to us. And then we get to the last one, persecution. And we bail. We bail. What I love about Scripture is that this is not the only piece of passage or verses that explain a different approach to the kingdom of God. What I love about who Jesus is that he is different than those who walk this earth. It's almost like an upside down analogy, that staircase that I've mentioned before. When the world says, do this, God says, do this. When the world says, be proud, be prideful, you'll get it all. No, you'll be unstoppable. The Lord says, be meek and be humble. It's an upside down approach, but it's fulfilling. It's life-giving. It's the walk of being a faithful disciple. So why on earth do we find ourselves in this tension of Jesus saying, you are blessed, but yet expect persecution? You know what I found interesting is that this is the only piece of the Beatitude that says, however, or therefore. Right? Every other piece, it's you are blessed when you are blessed when this. And then we get to the last one, it says, you are blessed, however, expect this. I think that's where we find that tension, and that's tension that stops us so often. I've mentioned it before, but it's like you get to this part where you're like, Lord, purify my heart. And then it gets ugly and you're like, oh, I'm good. How many of you have taken an online class? Oh, thank goodness. Okay. Well, have you ever been in that spot where you're going through the week and there's that circle, right? And it tells you your progress. And it talks about how when you turn in an essay or you turn in the first practice quiz, you got like 24%. And then you take the learning quiz and then you're at 50. And then you turn in the first discussion post and you're at like 74. These are weird numbers, but that's how sometimes it is. And then you add your responses and then it's 86. And then you turn in your last essay, but you're still at 90. And you're like, how on earth I did everything else? And you realize that you skipped just one step to complete that circle. I think we do that sometimes with Scripture and especially the Beatitudes. We say, I know the what, I know the why, I want to be a faithful follower of Jesus. Next week, we'll look at what it looks like to be salt and light, and that's the what, it's the why. So then we ask ourselves, Jesus, but how? And he gives it right to us in the Beatitudes. Every single piece of this matters. Every single piece, especially the one where it says, you will be blessed, but expect this. I believe this is so crucial and important to our walk with him, because the last step of the Beatitudes, just like in the previous message that I just preached from the translation, it talks about commitment. Our commitment pursues and shifts this alignment with Christ, becomes clear. When we experience this, we become aware that when we expect or maybe even anticipate or go through persecution, maybe moments of being discredited, of being accused, of being insulted, he says, but it's not for your own sake, it's for mine. I don't know about you, but I would love and desire to live a life where my sufferings have a purpose. Our purpose can be found in persecution sometimes, but yet we're so afraid to take that step. We are in alignment with the suffering that Christ has suffered before us. When we take that step, we can point ourselves into a new life that Jesus did. we have hope from our sufferings. Persecution is rightfully the triumph of the nature that comes from our commitment with God. Embracing the suffering is important because not only do we find our purpose, but the purpose of the gospel becomes preached. Again, I would rather live a life of being misunderstood being persecuted, being insulted with Jesus on my side than without him. There was a moment when I was preparing for today, and Mike and I, we were going over the sermon. He said, what's the one thing that you want people to recognize from the sermon? I'm not gonna lie, I started bawling. I was like, I don't know. And he said, yes, you do. Read it again. So I read it again, and I saw this promise. There's this promise that Jesus was persecuted before us. Prophets were too. I am so beyond thankful that the God I serve has done things before me. Right? He didn't say, do all of these things. Be witnesses to the Beatitudes, but you will be the first ones ever to be persecuted. He was too. Thank goodness. In fact, I would actually encourage you, friends, why haven't we taken that last step on the staircase? Why haven't we? I think so often what I love about God and his scriptures is that he starts with something so encouraging, and then he hits us with something so scary. But then he leaves us with something so emboldening. Verse 12 of the Beatitudes, it says this, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's one translation. There's another translation that says, your commitment to Christ will provoke persecution because of your commitment to the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be someone who is so committed to him that in moments of being persecuted, I rejoice and I be glad. Because I know within the depths of who I am that my reward is not here on earth. My reward is to be more like Jesus on earth, but my reward is in heaven. He doesn't leave us in this dry spot. He gives us hope. He doesn't leave us in vain. He doesn't say, you'll be persecuted. That's it. He says, no, be glad, rejoice when you take that final step. Friends, if I could give you one piece today, take that step on that staircase. Take it. I get emotional. Take it. Because your reward in heaven. And heaven comes when our commitment is so deep. So deep. With him. Take it. Take that last step. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. For your word encourages us. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who set foot before us. The things that you ask of us are not things that you have not done, but they're things that we actually get to walk through in victory. Because there is victory in your word. Lord, I pray that maybe there are people here today who don't know if they want to take that last step. Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give them the boldness to take it. Lord, would we recognize that our reward is not here on heaven or on earth? Excuse me. It is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you that you are a God who cares and a God of clarity. I pray for those who maybe don't know why they haven't taken that last step yet. God, would you make it known? And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. I really hope my makeup's not bad after crying. But thank you.